No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I would be lost without my smartphone. I use it for directions, to find things to do, and most importantly, where to eat. I rely on it as a digital music player to enhance my experience as I explore a new place. Oh, and sometimes I even use it to make calls and stuff. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are, too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now. We all can't help but wonder what adventure lies just over the next ridge. A Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada will take you there. If you're taking on your adventure in a new 2024 Nissan Rogue, class-exclusive Google built-in is your always-updating assistant to call on for almost anything. Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store are built right into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the 2024 Nissan Rogue. Nissan's SUV has the capabilities to take you where you want to go. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production from iHeartRadio. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with iHeartRadio, and how the tech are ya? It's time for the tech news for Tuesday, June 14th, 2022. Our first news item is about Google's conversation model AI that's called Lambda, L-A-M-D-A. Now, I covered this in yesterday's Tech Stuff episode, but in case you missed it, here is the short version. An engineer at Google working in the responsible AI division was suspended from his job after saying the AI might be sentient. The engineer, Blake Lemoine, shared a transcript of a few conversations that he and a colleague of his had with the conversation engine, during which the engine argued that it was conscious and that it experienced emotions. Google suspended the engineer for violating a confidentiality policy, which undoubtedly helped fuel speculation about the model's alleged sentience. Now, several AI experts have weighed in on this, and the general consensus is that Lambda is nowhere close to being sentient or conscious. It's just good at what it's supposed to do, which is to generate conversational dialogue. But as Gary Marcus, who is the founder of Geometric Intelligence, put it, what that really does is it just means Lambda is a very advanced version of autocomplete. Lambda uses statistics to determine what to say next. So imagine you had a truly enormous database that contains practically all the conversations that have ever been recorded. And you could see which responses were more prevalent to particular lines of conversation, weigh them against each other, and create an engine that could select the appropriate one at the appropriate time. So you use a very complicated version of this general approach, and you get something like Lambda. It's a process that can construct sentences that seem natural because they are drawn from natural conversations. Not, you know, verbatim, but that's what is being used to model it. It's a very cool technology, but it's not sentient AI. As I mentioned yesterday, we humans have a tendency to ascribe human-like traits to non-human things, whether that be animals, your car, or a chatbot. We imagine there's a mind at work, when in many cases no such mind exists. I still think this raises questions about what it will take for us to conclude that an AI has gained some form of consciousness, and I don't know what the answer is to that, but then I'm not an AI expert, and I imagine the folks who are really deep in this research have a much better grasp of what it would take for us to consider any evidence to be close to conclusive. Google has agreed to a $118 million settlement in a class action lawsuit brought against it by employees, namely women who worked for Google since 2013, and these are women who say they were paid significantly less than their male counterparts who were working in the same kind of jobs. Specifically, on average, women were paid $16,794 less than men in similar positions on average. That includes not just base compensation, but also stuff like bonuses and stock options. In addition, the lawsuit accused Google of placing women in lower-level positions than men with similar experience, and that when employees were leaving the company, Google failed to pay out the full amount that was owed to those employees. This was a pretty big lawsuit. There were more than 15,000 women who had worked for Google since 2013 that were part of it. Four of the women will receive significant payouts. Kelly Ellis will receive $75,000, three others will get $50,000 each, and the rest of those 15,000-plus women will get on average around $5,500. The rest of the cash goes to, of course, you know, lawyers, legal fees, that kind of thing. So, does this mean that we're going to see some massive changes at Google? Well, this was a settlement, not a legal judgment, and Google has not admitted to any kind of wrongdoing. Rather, Google reps say that the company frequently reviews compensation and, whenever it finds inequities, it makes quote-unquote upward adjustments to remove those inequities. I certainly hope that Google walks that walk. Google Talk, aka GChat, is finally riding off to that there sunset. All right, settle in. This gets confusing because, let's face it, Google is not great at introducing and then continuing to support its various products. The company has an incredibly long list of services that have long since gone away. And let's just pause and think for a moment about some of those services like Google Wave, Google Buzz, and Google Plus. So Google Talk GChat was an instant messaging service nested within Gmail. You could pop into your Gmail account and send messages to your various contacts through Talk rather than type out a full email. Well, Google would later introduce a similar service called Hangouts, and in 2017, Google pushed Gmail users from Talk to Hangouts. However, Talk itself technically still stuck around, not really as its own thing. People weren't going to that independently that much. Instead, it was a platform that other apps depended upon, like Pigeon was one of those apps, P-I-D-G-I-N. But on the 16th, Google is finally pulling the plug on Talk. As for Hangouts, well, Hangouts technically became Google Chat in 2020, so what will it be tomorrow? I don't even think Google knows the answer to that. Speaking of legacy services getting the plug pulled on them, let's talk about Internet Explorer, once the king of all web browsers. Microsoft will finally end all support for Internet Explorer tomorrow, which is June 15th, 2022, if you're listening to this news episode in the future for some reason. IE first debuted in 1995, and it was a major part of Microsoft's strategy as Windows was dominating the PC space. It was also a part of what would bring Microsoft under fire for anti-competitive practices, as other organizations like Mozilla would argue that Microsoft was discouraging people from using any browser other than IE, and that customers were being forced to buy two products even if they just wanted one. They had to get both Windows and Internet Explorer because they were bundled together. They were inseparable. So these were some arguments being made, and ultimately, the initial court demanded that Microsoft not just stop all this, but that the company be broken up by the government because it was representing an anti-competitive force, a monopoly. But that decision would later be overturned on appeal. Anyway, IE was a dominant browser for a few years, although Chrome would eventually overtake and pass Internet Explorer around 2012. And from then on, IE had a long, slow decline. In 2015, Microsoft introduced the Edge browser, which was meant to be the successor to Internet Explorer. And Microsoft has been pulling support for IE through various platforms for the last couple of years. So this isn't like a massive surprise or anything. And tomorrow, all support ends. IE is officially discontinued. I suspect some of y'all listening have probably never even used Internet Explorer. And to you, I say, you aren't missing much. I mean, I do remember a time when a certain web-based interface that I had to use was only compatible with Internet Explorer and how frustrating that was. It was the only reason I would keep Internet Explorer on my computer. That was a CMS, a content management system that I had to work on about a decade ago, and it would only properly work with IE. That was frustrating. So yeah, there's some legacy systems that may still require IE because they never got updated to be more compatible with other browsers. But for the most part, you can say Internet Explorer is finally going to be dead as of tomorrow. Microsoft has entered into a labor neutrality agreement with the Communications Workers of America. That, in turn, is the union that has been assisting Activision Blizzard employees in their various efforts to unionize. All right, so quick refresher. Activision Blizzard is a massive video game company, and it has had a tumultuous couple of years for lots of reasons. I mean, there have been a largely negative reception to some of the high-profile games the company has released recently. There have been serious and disturbing allegations regarding a toxic corporate culture that facilitates harassment and sexual discrimination. And the company has allegedly discouraged employees from organizing, essentially using union-busting tactics. And of course, Microsoft is on track to acquire Activision Blizzard, which would seriously boost Microsoft's already impressive presence in gaming. So Microsoft agreeing to remain a neutral party is an important step for Activision Blizzard employees. Microsoft traditionally itself hasn't been super keen on unions, like a lot of other tech companies and companies in general, really. But more recently, Brad Smith, the president of Microsoft, said that the company would be supportive of potential unions. And this will mean that once Microsoft completes its acquisition, employees at Activision Blizzard should theoretically encounter no resistance or discouragement if they should wish to pursue organizing into a union. That's pretty encouraging news for those employees, although that acquisition still has to go through several more stages before it is official. Well, we've got some more news items to cover, but before we get to that, let's take a quick break. No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I can't fly without my portable chargers and noise-canceling headphones keeping me immersed, and I'd be lost without my smartphone. In a new place, it's my connection to the familiar. I rely on it to get directions around town, I use my smartphone to look up things to do, or, most importantly, where to eat. In countries where I don't speak the language, my phone becomes a universal translator. And heck, it can double as a digital camera, giving me the opportunity to snap unforgettable pictures of the sights that inspire me and fill me with joy. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required. A spirit of adventure lives inside of us. Nissan's SUVs have the capabilities to transform your spirit of adventure into actual rubber meets the road into the wild, true blue real-life adventure. You just need a Nissan and a plan. Or better yet, just a Nissan. You can hop into a Nissan Rogue and discover what comes next. Don't worry, the Nissan Rogue has your back.
class-exclusive Google built-in is your always-updating assistant to call on for almost anything. Just climb in and go. No need to connect your phone. Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store are built right into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the new 2024 Nissan Rogue. No matter where you roam, you'll stay connected to home. Life is one huge adventure, and every day is a little one. No matter if the ride you're on is big or small, a Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada can elevate your adventure and push your limits to something new. Your next adventure is waiting for you. Get in a Nissan SUV and go. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas. Loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now. We're back. Mac Rumors reports that LG is working on the second generation mixed reality headset for Apple, which is probably news to a lot of folks because Apple has yet to officially announce the first generation headset. It's been a poorly kept secret for a few years now that Apple has been working on some sort of mixed reality hardware. However, we have never seen Apple acknowledge this publicly in any of its marketing events or conferences that it has held since those rumors started to circulate. Now, that in itself isn't unusual. Apple has a reputation for secrecy. And long-time Apple fans know that the company has sat on plans for years before finally being ready to move on them. That doesn't stop leaks from occasionally happening, sometimes from within Apple itself, sometimes it's through one of Apple's manufacturing partners. But anyway, the rumor is that LG is going to provide micro OLED displays for the second generation headset, and that LG also contributed components to the first generation system. Mac Rumors says that, according to analyst Ming-Chi Kuo, this second-generation device will not hit the market until the second half of 2024. I'm sure several people were disappointed that Apple had made no mention of mixed reality during WWDC 2022. That's their Worldwide Developer Conference. But maybe we will finally get a glimpse of the mixed reality headset this fall, which is when Apple typically holds its iPhone event. Most rumors say that the mixed reality headset was going to be ready for sale by the end of this year, you know, for the holiday season. So if we don't see it by September, it sounds to me like it's not going to be a 2022 thing at all. So we'll have to wait and see. Telegram founder Pavel Durov is throwing hands at Apple, saying that the company purposefully restricts web app features. So here's what Telegram's issue actually is. The messaging and chat service has an iOS app, but that app sometimes has issues because Telegram has kind of a hands-off approach to moderation. It does not restrict content in public channels. That is bad form in the eyes of Apple. Apple wants content moderation. They want to ensure that the material being looked at on their phones meets Apple's high standards, even if it's not coming from Apple itself. So the Telegram app isn't the fully featured Telegram. However, Telegram also has a web-based version that users could go to instead. They could just navigate there via Safari. But then Apple restricts all iOS developers to use the Apple WebKit, which means the web-based version of Telegram is lacking certain features like push notifications, although the latest version of iOS will enable those. So in the UK, Apple faces more antitrust reviews with various agencies and companies accusing Apple of purposefully restricting competitors from being able to provide alternatives to Apple's own services on iOS devices. That has been a major ongoing story for Apple, this battle with regulators, especially in the European Union. Meanwhile, the EU is also moving to hold big tech companies more accountable for creating and enforcing policies, quote, regarding impermissible manipulative behaviors and practices on their services, based on the latest evidence on the conducts and tactics, techniques, and procedures, TTPs, employed by malicious actors, end quote. So that includes stuff like misinformation campaigns that are pushed by legions of fake accounts,
But it also includes more recent tactics, things like deepfake images and deepfake videos. Should companies fail to adhere to this code, they could be liable for fines up to 6% of global turnover. And in this context, you can think of turnover as more or less being global revenue. So for the really big, big tech companies out there, 6% would be in the billions of dollars neighborhood, which is serious stuff. So there are major companies that have already kind of agreed to these kind of demands in the past, like Meta and Twitter. We'll have to see if that continues and what, you know, what tactics the sites and services will employ to detect and remove this kind of content in the EU. We've been seeing signs in the tech sector for a while now that companies are getting a bit concerned, from hiring freezes to layoffs to rescinded job offers. The trend appears to be a slowdown in the tech industry as companies deal with a slowing economy. Since many analysts treat the tech sector as kind of a canary in a coal mine, this has led to predictions of a larger slowdown and downsizing in general across different industries. And startups might find it harder to get off the ground as investors have a more difficult time borrowing money that they can then pour into moonshot opportunities. So things are probably going to get worse before they get better. Though I do have a couple of cool items to close out this episode. One is that researchers at MIT have developed a sensor that can tell the difference between bacterial and viral pneumonia. And you might think, well, what's the big deal there? Well, here's the problem. Pneumonia can be caused by either a bacterial infection or a viral infection. There's not just one pathway to pneumonia. And you can treat a bacterial infection with antibiotics, but antibiotics do not have an effect on viruses. So doctors need a way to differentiate the type of infection that caused pneumonia in order to prescribe an effective treatment for it. Otherwise, you can only treat the symptoms. Plus, you know, you don't want to overuse antibiotics because through overuse, bacteria can develop immunity to those kinds of medications that makes future treatments much more challenging. Anyway, the researchers created a nanoparticle sensor that looks for something really interesting. Rather than trying to seek out the pathogen itself, you know, that is, rather than looking for the root cause of the pneumonia, the sensors actually detect the body's response to the infection. The research team identified 39 different enzymes that react differently to different kinds of infections. So by detecting what the body is doing in response to the infection, the sensors can help scientists determine the nature of the infection itself. And I think that's a really cool way to tackle the problem. So far, the team has seen successful results while testing on mice. Of course, there's a pretty big leap between a mouse and a person, at least for most people. So a lot more work is going to have to be done to see if this method will translate to human patients. If it does, it could become a standard practice for treating pneumonia, as doctors determine if antibiotic or antiviral medication is best suited for the individual case. And finally, SpaceX is just a little bit closer to Mars. U.S. regulators have sent SpaceX a message. As long as the company can guarantee compliance with 75 mitigating actions, the company's enormous Starship rocket should receive clearance to blast off toward Mars from these regulators. So the mitigating actions range from stuff like ensuring local wildlife habitats remain protected, to cleaning up after launches, to even avoiding launches on weekends and holidays because locals in Texas would like to be able to access the beach that's close to the launch site, and that beach would be shut down on any launch day. So just launch during the work week, y'all, when people should be at work anyway. There's still more reviews to follow from other agencies, so this is not a signed deal. It's not carte blanche for SpaceX just yet. They're going to have to pass safety tests and lots of other reviews before it can actually go forward with test launches of the spacecraft, but it is one more step toward the company getting permission to head off to the Red Planet. And that's it for the news for Tuesday, June 14th, 2022. If you have anything you would like to send me, you can do so either with the TalkBack feature on the iHeartRadio app. Just go to Tech Stuff. Use a little microphone icon. You can leave up to a 30-second voice message to me. Or, as always, you can reach out on Twitter. The handle for the show is TechStuffHSW. And I will talk to you again really soon. TechStuff is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I would be lost without my smartphone. I use it for directions, to find things to do, and most importantly, where to eat. I rely on it as a digital music player to enhance my experience as I explore a new place. Oh, and sometimes I even use it to make calls and stuff. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are, too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know. We all can't help but wonder what adventure lies just over the next ridge. A Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada will take you there. If you're taking on your adventure in a new 2024 Nissan Rogue, class-exclusive Google built-in is your always-updating assistant to call on for almost anything. Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store are built right into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the 2024 Nissan Rogue. Nissan's SUV has the capabilities to take you where you want to go. Learn more at nissanusa.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.